This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, a new diabetes medication for felines and celebrity dog trainer Chrissy Joy. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, is here with us for our pet tip of the week. Hey, Monica, how are you?
Hi, good.
You know, I heard about this new oral diabetes medication for kitty cats. Can you tell us if that's true? And if so, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. So at the very end of 2022, the FDA cleared a new medication, and it's called Bexacat. It's B-E-X-A-C-A-T. And Bexacat is the first oral drug to improve the glycemic control in, you know, otherwise healthy cats that are diagnosed with diabetes mellitus that have not previously been treated with insulin. So that's the caveat. Diabetes in cats, it can occur. Generally, it's treated with insulin. You're having to give injections usually twice a day. You will want to, you know, check with your veterinarian, of course, but you're going to have monitoring involved in that. A lot of people will do glucoses at home to make sure the insulin levels are correct. Sometimes your vet will like hospitalize your pet when they first get on insulin. If you have a diabetic cat, there is quite a bit involved, and some people just aren't always comfortable giving the injections in general. Just having to go through the process and, you know, give their pet an injections and can sometimes be scary. And a lot of people just aren't comfortable with it. So this is kind of a nice addition, you know, to the medication family, but it does work a little differently than the traditional insulin. So I just kind of wanted to, you know, kind of give an overview of what it is and what the differences are. The first thing is pets that are already diabetic cannot go on Bexacat if they were previously on insulin. And there's a couple of reasons why, but just kind of like an overview on here. With Bexacat, the way that it controls the glucose is different. And it's for that reason, you know what I mean, that they can't do that. So for Bexacat, what happens is you give the pill one time a day. You do not have to give any injections. You're going to monitor the pet. But what it does is it actually has the kidney's ability to absorb the sugar and release it into the bloodstream like it does in insulin. It doesn't do that. Bexacat actually blocks the kidney's ability from putting glucose back into the bloodstream, and they actually end up passing it through their urine. So it's a different mechanism of bringing down the blood glucose level, which is why cats that have become insulin dependent, pets that have been diabetic previously, that have been on insulin and are controlling their pet's blood sugar with insulin, cannot be switched over to the Bexacat because they become insulin dependent. Their body, you know, has learned to function correctly and keep it in control with insulin. So at that point, you can't switch over. So Bexacat would be used for newly diagnosed diabetic cats that were not previously on insulin to begin with. So that's one of the big caveats with that drug. Like every medication, there can be, you know, some side effects, dehydration, not wanting to eat, lethargy, you know, things like that. Most of them, you know, fairly benign, and you're going to want to talk with your veterinarian before you decide what route you want to go, see what they recommend for your pet, see what they think, you know, will be best with your, you know, ability to medicate. And then, you know, the stage or the, you know, exact diagnosis of the cat, because Bexacat can be something that is definitely used in lieu of insulin if you were not on insulin before. They've had great results. They had, when they did the 6-month field study, 80% of the patients that went on Bexacat instead of insulin were great levels, adequate levels, no issues whatsoever.
Wow.
And you know, some cats, just like people, you can have different levels. Some people, you know, once they're given a little bit of insulin, can bring the blood sugar down. You can stay, you know, moderately level for a long period of time. Other people, you know, go up and down, and it's a curve, and, you know, it's just like people. You can have different, you know, reactions or ways that your body takes to that medication. So not all pets are going to have the same treatment, just like all people are not going to have the same treatment. But at once a day tablet, not even a twice a day tablet, which you can give with or without food. And it's a fairly small pill. I was looking at what a lot of places were charging for it, and it looks typically to be in the same range as a bottle of insulin. And at one tablet a day, it was a 60 count bottle. So that's going to last 2 months. So the cost is pretty comparative, and you're not having to constantly give injections, and, you know, it's one pill a day. Nice and easy.
But the caveat being that if your cat is already on insulin, if you have a cat on insulin that, I guess, and that's successful, they cannot be changed. But if you're bringing in your cat to your vet and they say that, you know, that it's going to need medication for its diabetes, that now, is this readily available? Is this something that all the vets are going to be aware of? Or
yes, it's actually made by Elanco, which is, you know, a fairly, you know, big manufacturer. They manufacture a lot of different pet medications. They're available, you know, to all veterinarians. It's had great, you know, great studies so far. It seems to be a really good option out there for cats. Unfortunately, not in dogs yet.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, have they got anything in the pipe for doggies?
Yes. I mean, not that they're announcing or, you know, talking about. I actually was perusing their website earlier, and, you know, it's specifically on there that they really, you know, nothing in dogs yet. It cannot be used in dogs. And it's literally, you know, all cats 6 pounds and up. It's one tablet a day. That's it.
That's great. And Monica, if you could just one more time, if you could just spell it out so that anyone who is, you know, listening to this or has your cat has been newly diagnosed or is in the process of being tested for diabetes, this may be the answer that you want to talk to your vet about.
Absolutely. So the drug is called Bexacat. So it's Bexacat. If they're looking for information online as well, I know when I went online to kind of check everything out, I found it in Elanco's website that goes directly to that Bexacat, is yourpetandyou.elanco.com. yourpetandyou.elanco.com.
You and yourpet.elanco.com. Perfect. Your pet and you.
Yep.
I'm writing it down. And you know what? I just wanted to bring up, like, I have someone who's just a friend who recently started to watch cats. And one of the things that her concern was of course, giving them the insulin. And this will be something great for people who are even like pet sitting and stuff. You're just pilling the cat. You don't have to give them the insulin. So this is really great news.
Absolutely. And very, I mean, it's really, really effective. They say even the first dosing with Bexacat, the blood glucose concentrations had decreased by like 67% in the first 8 hours.
Wow, wow, wow. That's really great. So as always, Monica, thank you so much for this valuable information. And again, why don't you give out the website one more time and just the medication in case anyone's like going to get notes on this, because this is like really important. This is really a good one.
Absolutely. So the website is yourpetandyou.elanco, which is ELANCO.com. And the drug's name is Bexacat, BEXACAT.
Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning 3-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Does your pup have what it takes to be a professional dog actor? We've got some answers. Stay with us.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Chrissy Joy is a celebrity dog trainer, international trick champion, live performer, studio canine trainer, and educator through demos and workshops with the BFF Pet Services. And Chrissy is also the co-host of The Dog Moms on Dog TV. We are so honored to have Chrissy with us today to share some behind-the-scenes knowledge as to what it is to be a celebrity dog trainer working with talented dog actors. Hey, Chrissy, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I love this show and I love everything that you guys are about. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, you're so awesome. Thank you. And you do so much. For the listeners who may not know who you are, can you please tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. You know, I am first and foremost a crazy dog mom. Mm-hmm. I also have my own, I have a daughter who's 6. So I'm also definitely a big proponent of family. But, you know, one thing I get to do with my career is pretty cool. I'm a celebrity dog trainer, which means that I do a lot of great things with my dogs that are called the Joy Crew. So that's 4 dogs that I own. And together we do everything from TV and film to live shows. We also do demos and workshops to, you know, share in education and avenues to help people not only learn tricks with their dogs, but maybe even get a chance to start their own career on TV and film. And that's something that I really enjoy, is to be able to reach out to people in the things that I do with my dogs. So we have really fun social media content all the way from, you know, doing live shows, being able to be right there with an audience, and just to be one-on-one with education are great avenues.
That's awesome. And, you know, I just want to briefly touch on this with the SAG-AFTRA strike. How is that affecting animal actors?
That's a very good topic right now, because it really is, you know. So there's a window where you can still do commercials, and there are still avenues of like independent films that are still going on. But your late night talk shows, if you haven't noticed, like some shows like Jimmy Fallon or SNL mm-hmm. have been just doing reruns, and no movies. So long form content, where certain movies that don't have their script finalized or it's not in the vault already locked and loaded to go, there's really no movement on these newer projects. And that's because not only are the actors with a strike with SAG, but also the writers are. So you really do need both to be able to move forward with our union based projects. So we are seeing commercials. I was just in New York City yesterday with my puppy on his first studio shoot, and he did great. But so we're still seeing that, but we're not seeing some of those longer form, longer term jobs. And that's really tough. It's not just because of the writers and the actors that we're seeing this pause. There's an underlying factor there with the use of AI and artificial intelligence. And that's really where we're seeing quite the halt in the discussions and the halt in finding that middle ground, because, you know, with AI as the possibility of being used, it could take the presence of an actor on day one and take their image and then use it however they want in the future. So there's no protection. And let's think about that. It doesn't just stop at the world of animal or people, but it could go to the world of animals. And so that's where we, as having our dog actors, could be subjected to our dog's likeness being utilized and then changed for other projects, which takes away the need for the dog altogether.
And I think that is so heartbreaking. And having been brought up on movies, the arts, music, my family was very into it. I feel that that this is something that I'm not sure how anything's going to turn out, but I know that it affects people such as myself, who is not in there, but who appreciates everything that everyone does. It's brought me personally joy, and people I know joy. So I wish them the best. Now, what is a dog actor? You know, we've been talking about it, but what is a dog actor?
A dog actor is a specifically trained dog that's learned not just trick training, but also the world of TV and film to do projects such as TV, film, commercials, and even theatrical live shows. You know, actors can transcend to the stage as well. But there is a different type of training that is involved here. It's not your typical obedience class of sit, stay, come. It's going to be more skills like going to a mark or working away from the handler or having certain direction and eye line that's needed for set. And also, to be honest, a lot of times it's learning how to do natural behaviors on cue and to do them over and over and over again at the same perfect energy as the first take. And that's really tricky. It's not always doing cool tricks. Sometimes it's the dog has to walk on leash, or it has to lay by the handler, or follow the actor around the room. You know, there's all these simple behaviors that are also working behaviors, but your dog has to be able to do them over and over and over again, as one scene not only has many takes, but also the camera moves to many angles. And so there you're going to see all different aspects of the same scene, and that dog has to repeat that behavior.
That's like so amazing. And how does the production work? What is the schedule like for dog actors?
I think the human gets the harder part of it. We get to act as the scheduler, the chauffeur, the walker. It's a lot on a person. And that's something that I like to tell in my workshops that are based on education for TV and film. You know, we want to teach you that this is not just a really fun job you get to go to. This is difficult. And it's especially difficult if you have a daytime, like a day job, because a lot of the times the schedule is very, very sporadic. If you're on a TV series, there's a great chance that you're not going to know until the day or two before exactly your location or when you're supposed to be on set. Sometimes I don't even know what's called a call time, which is the time you arrive on set. I don't even know the call time until the night before. So it's imperative that you have a flexible schedule. And there's been times where I've arrived on set and they've had to reschedule and they've had to change the schedule, and I needed to go home and come back a day or two later. And if you have a very difficult schedule at home, that's going to be a problem. But for the dog, to be honest, it's a lot of the hurry up and wait. Any of you military members out there, veterans listening, it's very much a hurry up and wait atmosphere. You arrive on set, you do everything you can to prep your dog and make them comfortable, but also there's going to be a lot of downtime. And when your dog isn't working, one thing that I find is imperative is that it is not social hour, but it's a chance for your dog to rest. And we use crates to make sure, and trust me, they have like 3-inch memory foam in a van that's designed for them. Like they have such a good life. But I do make sure that they're resting because I don't want them to be mentally drained from saying hi to everybody or hanging out. And then when they have to get to work, they have no energy. So it's a lot of hurry up and wait. But when they are working, you know, you have to be the judge and a humane rep is there to support you, but you have to be a judge to say my dog can do a couple more takes or maybe getting too tired and needs a break.
Well, that's so good to hear. And I wanted to know how do you like acclimate the pups on set? How do they get used to the actors and the scenes before they shoot?
That's great because, you know, and a lot of times you get time. And sometimes you don't. And that's something that you have to judge going in if that's something you need to communicate. So, you know, to be honest, those living room scenes where my dog just has to lay with the family, I will absolutely make sure my dog gets a chance to meet the actors, but I'm not going to probably, me personally, going to stress my dog seeing the scene and knowing exactly where to be because it's pretty basic. That's an experienced eye. However, if you're new to it, I always suggest you go to your point of contact on set and you ask for that time, just a couple minutes even, just to get your dog acclimated. Or if they're working in another scene that you get to go and go to the scene that you're expected to film on and start getting your dog just used to being in that space. For our harder scenes, my one dog was recently in the Good Burger 2 movie. If you don't know anything about Good Burger, it's a Nickelodeon. It's a 90s show that I grew up with that's now making a movie out of it with Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell. Kenan Thompson is from Saturday Night Live. And we did a scene there where my dog had to tug his pant leg and nearly rip it off while a parrot flies in. Now, that's a lot of movement in one scene. So with something like that, we actually had a stunt double. We had ample practice time. Well, I wouldn't say ample, but we had enough practice time before. But also that bleeds into your training at home. You know, it's your responsibility to be doing this work at home so that when you go on set, you simply have to apply the equation into a new situation. And there's lots of communication that goes with that. There's things that can work and there's things that just aren't going to work, but you have to make sure that you can communicate that to production while being open-minded of trying to get the scene done.
Mm. Wow, that's so much that goes on.
Yeah.
Why is protecting the dogs on the set or a TV show and a movie, why is it crucial and what does that involve? Like safety, environment, temperature, the flooring, anything like that, the environment?
It's a big part of production. It is. So there is the Humane Association will send out representatives and their job is to have a representative on set for most productions. If you ever watch the end of credits, sometimes there's a stamp, a seal of approval that says no animals were harmed during the making of this film. Mm-hmm. They have to get that stamp from places like the Humane Association. And so the representatives come out and they really help us. So we can have as much word as we want to say, but the people that are really going to be able to command the room are your humane reps. So for example, if it's very hot outside, they'll have a temperature thermometer to test the pavement. And if that temperature is too hot, they can just say, the dog's not walking on this pavement, it's too hot. And there will be no other discussion because the rep was there to support you. And we've had situations where we've had, you know, we're gonna film in this area, there's lots of debris, so we have to walk the grounds and we ask for kind of what's called a FOD walk, but it basically removes any debris that the dogs could hurt themselves on, glass, metal, what have it. And there was one scene we did in it's called The Good Fight. I used to be an actress and I was on The Good Wife. It's now called The Good Fight. And this was cool because it was a really cool scene. I actually walked 6 dogs on leash through this scene. It was very busy, but they wanted the dogs to run up a staircase, which didn't seem hard until we got there. We found out, now mind you, if you know anything about dogs, there's like a Newfoundland, there's like 2 border collies, there's a pug, there's all these different size dogs. And it was a glass, see-through, floating spiral staircase. If you can imagine the possibilities of things going wrong, it was very relieving to have the humane rep step forward and just say, we just can't do this. But instead of just being Debbie Downers, we always try to think of an option like, well, we could try this though, or we could do that instead. Because our job isn't to be there to cause problems, but we are going to keep the dog's safety our number one priority.
That's so important and so good to hear. And I think we know that, like, we all look for that credit at the end of the movie to know that no animal was harmed. But in speaking about all of this, and there's a lot that goes into it, you know, what you do is amazing. I respected what you did before, but I have a whole new respect for it now. But while all this is going on, how do you manage the dog's, like, physical and mental health to make sure that they're, like, okay? I know that the humane reps are there, but, you know, the bond that you have.
So when you talk about dogs coming on set and wanting to do work on set, you need to have a certain type of dog that's going to be a healthy fit for set work. So if you have a dog that's nervous or is triggered by men wearing hats or is scared of certain things, like, that's going to be something that you need to be aware of and maybe will take you out of the running for set work altogether. Or you need to shape that dog's jobs into things that you know where the dog can be confident and happy. But the first thing I always say is that make sure your dog likes the work. It's not really it shouldn't be a selfish project. It should be something that you and your dog both enjoy. Now for my dogs and how they work on set, you know, my biggest factor is that they feel safe. Because if you have a dog that feels safe in their environment, then you see their confidence come out and you can get the training that you've done at home. You can usually get to happen on set. Now every dog is going to act different. My responsibility first is to make sure that my dogs are fed, are pottied, and feel safe in their environment. And then I try to introduce the areas we're going to work in. Now, when you work on set with dogs, you have to be fast problem solvers, because if you always trained your dog to do this trick with your dog directly in front of you, and then they say, hey, you can't be there in the scene, I'm sorry, like, you're gonna have to stand over here, it could really change the trajectory of how that trick is done with your dog, because they're not used to you being over there. So you have to be able to problem solve fairly quickly and communicate very well with either your agent or production to describe kind of what you need out of this scene. For my dogs, keep them mentally and physically happy. I love to, like, get everybody settled in. I usually grab coffee because the first thing I get, and I will take them for a walk. To be honest, I take them for a walk. I get them on leash. I let them do a nice stroll, low stress, make sure all their potties are done. And I just take them for a walk to smell the air, to be in the environment, and to kind of just get that out of their system, you know, just to be a dog for a moment. And then after that, what I like to do is I like to put them in their crates and kind of assess the schedule for the day and make sure I make it clear that I need a certain time frame in between the scene, like before we're called to the scene, to not only acclimate them, but give them a chance to go to the bathroom, come down to the set, see the set while maybe they're still setting up, and really try to give them some short training sessions before we need to get to business.
Wow. You do. I asked it about the dogs. I should ask it about the trainer, because, oh my gosh, the mental and the physical, all of that goes into it with you as well as the dogs. It's that's quite of a magical partnership there. So, Chrissy, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, more to learn about the Joy Crew, your social media?
Sure, please. I would love to share my passion with everyone. And I'm always open for messages and questions. And we're going to have some fun education coming out soon. So stay tuned. You can follow me on Instagram. So that's The Joy Crew or The Chrissy Joy. And any other social media platform, you can find us as The Chrissy Joy. If you want to see some really cute videos and you've got TikTok, we do quite a bit of content there as well. And also my website is chrissyjoy.com. If you want to stay tuned and stay updated on any upcoming workshops, classes, or even some possible merchandise coming down the line, be sure to follow us on my website there. And we'd love to hear from you. If you ever want to drop us a note or a comment, we're always here to talk to you and help you follow your own dreams.
That's awesome. And before we leave, is there anything that we may not have covered that you would like to share with the listeners?
Sure. You know, I think a lot of people ask how they can get involved and they feel like there's a huge disconnect. And I agree. It's hard to get involved sometimes to get started yourself. If you do feel that you have a dog that may be a good actor in the future, I highly suggest you get involved in a positive reinforcement facility that can do obedience and maybe some trick training. Get involved, get your dog good with exposure and socialization. And then when you feel like you're at a good point where maybe your dog has some of those really basic skills and working at a distance and is really solid in new places, then I would say maybe at that point, start to reach out for some animal talent agents, maybe in your area, to go for some casting calls. But you want to make sure that your dog is really prepared mentally and physically to take on the big challenges of working on set. But I will tell you that I think there's a place for every dog out there. So if it's a part of your dream, I wouldn't give up on it. I would just make sure you're prepared.
That's awesome. Well, Chrissy, thank you so much for sharing such great information, being our guest today, and sharing the importance not only of training, but all that goes into being a dog trainer and also a dog actor. All of that preparation, all of that melding together, when it comes together, it's magic. But what you do, what you just shared with us, is absolutely amazing. So I thank you so very much for being our guest. And again, why don't you share your social media and your website with the listeners so that they can catch up with what you're doing.
Be sure to follow me, The Chrissy Joy, or The Joy Crew on all social media platforms, and check out chrissyjoy.com because we have some exciting things coming up soon.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.